Amen. And good morning to everyone. Morning. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good. And we thank him for blessing us to be here today to worship his great name. He is worthy to be praised. If you are visiting with us, you are honored guests. And thank you for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We hope that you've already met some friendly Fifth Ward folks. If you haven't, then shame on us. We know sometimes people be trying to make a beeline to their seat, and they walk back by you sometime, but it's not intentional, but sometimes we do that, being in a hurry. But our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. We're just thankful. It's just good to be here on the first day of the week. We don't take it for granted. I know some of you may have had a tough week this past week, a challenging week this past week, but God is still good, isn't he? Yes, we're still here, and I promise you that there are some people right now who would trade places with you. And so we need to count our blessings and not complain all the time. Just thank God that things are as well as they are. Amen. Amen. I want you to meet with me this morning. Well, you know, the past few weeks I've been focusing on great Bible stories. I've entitled it Great Bible Stories. There are so many in the Word of God. And today I want to talk about conversion stories in the Bible. Conversion stories. And I'm primarily focusing in the book of Acts, because most of the conversion stories, when we use the word convert or conversion, we're talking about being converted from being lost to being saved, according to the scriptures. And I want to dive right in, just to make sure I can have enough time to deal with what's in my notes. The brother read in your hearing, Jude chapter 1. And we want to read it again, beginning at verse number 3. Everybody all right? All right. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, he calls it a common salvation. That really, in the scripture, there's really not but one way a person is to be saved, according to the scriptures. And he says it's a common salvation. It's the way all of us did it or were supposed to have done it. And he's writing to the saints. It says, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. He says, I want you to contend. And so in other words, there's going to come a time in your life that there would be some who would challenge the way you were saved, or who would challenge your salvation. And I'm writing to you, because I felt the need to write to you to tell you, don't sway. Stay with what you believe, the way it was handed down to you, just the way it was handed down to you, one time for everybody. That's what the scripture says. And so we want to read some conversion stories. And we're reading those that's in the Bible, but I got a question before I read these. What's your conversion story? I mean, we are those that, quote unquote, are saved, or that are supposed to be saved, we have a conversion story, or we should have a conversion story. And I want you to think about that as we read through these. And as we read through these, I want you to notice the commonality of these conversion stories. And so let's dive in. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14. Acts 2:14. And this is to the Jews who are in Jerusalem, and this is actually these are the first converts, if you will, if you don't count the apostles of Jesus Christ. These would be the first converts in Acts 2:14. I think this is vitally important. We're not going to read it all, but we'll read some passages. And ask yourself, was that how I was converted? I know those that perhaps are watching by way of television, wherever you are, because according to the scriptures, there's not but one way we're supposed to be saved. And so this is all over the world. Whoever sees this, whoever hears this, just ask you, well, God, I don't need to do it. Just cooperate with it. If you're saved, you're saved, right? Amen. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." That's commonality in salvation. If somebody got to listen to somebody. Amen. If somebody has to listen. Somebody has to speak and somebody has to listen. He jumped down to verse 37. "Now when they heard this," so there it is. "Now when they heard this," now you have to be humble to hear. Yeah, some people just not going to hear. Some people don't want to hear. That's okay. We're talking about salvation. Now, it's those who want to be saved. Because God does not make anybody listen to him. But that doesn't mean God is not in control. Amen. Yeah, sometimes your children get hard-headed and don't want to listen, don't they? Yeah, they don't want to listen. And sometimes they act like they're listening, but they're not listening to nothing you're saying. They tune you out. Amen. So when we're talking about hearing, we're talking about hearing. We're talking about listening with an intention to hearing what the person is saying. And Peter says, "And when they heard this," what did they hear, Brother Gary? Your homework is to read all of Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And so here, read the first gospel. It's the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, how Jesus came, he lived, he died. That story never changes. That story should never, ever change. But Gary, it ought to be something new we can know, not nothing new. God wants that story to be told. The word gospel means good communication or good news. And it's good news for everybody, the same news. And he says, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. That's the emotion that they felt. It cut them to their hearts. So that means they were really listening. It says, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent," underline repents, underline heard, underline repent, each one of you be baptized, underline baptized, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the first conversion. Do not discard this one. This was very important as the church doors are being opened. Peter preaches this sermon, and a lot of people heard it, But not everybody heard it. Some people, I don't know if they tuned it out. Some people heard it, didn't respond. Some people heard it, it didn't pierce their heart. And they just got up and did whatever they were going to do. But we do know, according to the scriptures, 3,000 people heard it and were baptized. But notice this, everybody heard it. It's like here this morning. You know, everybody didn't come to the Lord's house for the same reason. We know you came here to worship, but somebody in here didn't come here to worship. Just the order numbers, a numbers game. See, some people meeting somebody here this morning. Yeah, some people just, this is just something on the schedule. That some of our children sure don't want to be here this morning. Yeah, I used to be in that number when I was young. Sometime I come to church and I say, "Well, what are you gonna preach about today?" Didn't know I would be the preacher one day. Lord have mercy. So to our young people, you know, but you know what? You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Because see, you know, you might not hear the word one day, and all of a sudden the Lord touch you during the week, and the next Sunday you all ears. Because something happened to get your attention. Now you're ready to hear. You know, grown folks the same way. You have some folks in there from 18 to 30 now. On their mind right now is what honey gonna be here this morning? You wouldn't think it, but it happens, don't it? Yeah. All of us different reasons, but when you if you're gonna be saved, one day you're gonna have to hear the word of God. with an intention to, and if it has its proper response, it's going to touch your heart. Because you're going to realize you are in your sins. And while you might not be thinking about funerals and death right now, Lord have mercy, you're going to realize, hopefully before you leave this place, you'll realize if I die in my sins, I'm going to lose my soul. And that's what should inject in you the desire to obey God, because there's only one way for you to get your sins forgiven and to go from being lost to being saved. That's all the difference is from being lost to saved, is that you, when you're saved, you got your sins covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel on the day of Pentecost. Listen to Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Acts 8, verse 5. This would be the Samaritans. The Samaritans. Philip went down to the city of Samaria, preacher again, began proclaiming. Here's commonality, common salvation. The word is proclaimed. And preaching and teaching a little bit different, proclaiming, preaching more of a proclaiming, a boldness. It is teaching, but it's a little slight difference. Proclaiming Christ to them, commonality. That's the gospel. That's the message that Peter preached. And that same message that Peter preached unto him. That don't change. Drop down to verse 12. Verse 12, Acts 8, 12. But when they believed, as commonality. When they believed. Now, in Acts chapter 2, it doesn't actually say they believe, but it implies it. How do you know that, Brother Gary? Because it pierced their hearts. And belief, faith comes in the heart. That's why you looking at people, you don't know what people are thinking, feeling, you know, but God knows. They believe, they were heard, they believe. It says, when they believe, it says, they believe Philip preaching the good news. There it is, that gospel. Same message about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Notice the gospel includes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. See, when you are saved, you believe that Jesus came, he lived, he died, and you believe that you are added to the kingdom. So being saved is not you by yourself. You added to the body, to the church, which is an assembly. And that's what he preached unto them. And they believed it. They believed it and the scriptures would say they were baptized. They were baptized, men and women alike were baptized. See, remember the question: are you saved? Have you been saved? Remember what you did. Were you sitting on the side of the bed? Did somebody tell you to listen? Let me pray this prayer for you, and you receive the Lord Jesus in your heart. Notice as we read these conversions, you won't see. I don't think you're gonna see that in the Bible. Just a point to remember. Oh, well, Brother Gary, that's what I did. That's why I'm reading. That's why we're reading it, right? Look at Acts chapter 8, verse 13. Acts 8, 13. That's Simon. It says Simon. Simon was really a crook. For no better word, he was a shyster. He was good at it too. He got people's money. You got people like that today. Yeah, Acts 8:13. Even Simon, I don't have time to read it. You read the rest on your own. Even Simon himself believed. Now, I wish we could have a, well, no, maybe we shouldn't have that. Well, people could tell what they did before they were saved. That we couldn't handle that, could we? No, we couldn't handle that. We better not do that. Yeah, we better leave that one alone. But, listen, the Bible includes it. In this instance, you read about Simon. He was a trickster, and he tricked people for their money. But he believed what, Berger? He believed the gospel. When he heard the message, it struck him. And that's the way, that's why I stop judging people and saying who's going to be saved and who's not going to be saved and who's going to listen to God. There's some folk out in the world right now who you will be surprised if they would sit down in a Bible class, if they heard a gospel message, they do more with it than we do with it. Some of them are right in our family. Listen to what the Bible said. This is what it said. And after he believed. Okay. And after being baptized, underline baptized. After being baptized, he continued on with Philip, and as he observed signs and miracles, great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. Yeah, that crook got baptized. Yeah. And I will say this to those who used to be some things, and, you know, some people are not going to believe it. Some people are not going to take you seriously. Some people are going to doubt what you've done and say, oh, that he go trying to crook somebody else. But don't worry about them. You just, some things you just have to live down. You just keep time. And if you're serious about what you're doing and you're consistent and you keep growing and trying, they'll soon enough leave you alone. Yeah, I told you they used to call my daddy. My dad, is he here this morning? Maybe he's second. That good. He's not here. I can say it at this service. My daddy, before he became a deacon in the church, an elder in the church, and now he's retired. My daddy was a character. I mean, he was a good daddy, but my daddy could drink with the best of them. Yes, he could. How you know, Brother Gary? I was a kid, but I know. Yeah. They used to call him Benny Boy Baby. That's what they used to call my daddy, Benny Boy Baby. Yeah, and then when he got baptized and into the church, he obeyed the gospel. My dad turned a leaf. He didn't play with it. He changed the whole household. Everything changed. We changed. The beer cans disappeared. Amen. So I'm not, but are you talking about drinking? I'm just telling you what he did. Everything changed. On time, we never was late. Be a church, get up. We going to church this. I mean, we're on time to church. Why we got to get up so early? You better get up. Yeah, Simon was amazed. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. I want to get through these. Acts 8, 35. Listen to this. Then Philip opened his mouth. This is the eunuch. This is a eunuch. Oh, this is some great study for the church in the book of Acts. This is about 11 conversions. Acts is a few more than that, but listen to the eunuch. Acts chapter 8, verse 35. Then Philip, a preacher, opened his mouth. The same consistency, same commonality. He opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. He preached the same message. Seems like people would get tired of the gospel. Well, you're just going to have to get tired. How can you get tired of somebody that's saved? I'll say something about that in just a sec. As they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, water. That's the baptismal part. What prevents me from being baptized? Notice the commonality. And you know, there are individuals who would say, baptism is not necessary. They haven't been reading their Bible. They've been listening. They've been reading other books and listening to philosophy. They have not been reading the examples that we have in Scripture. Couldn't be. Yeah, says this. What prevents me from being baptized? So he had been taught the gospel. The gospel will include being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. How do you know that, Brother Gary? Because he stopped the chair and said, here is the water. Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession. With his mouth, he said it. And he ordered the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. Yeah. How are you? What's your conversion story? Yeah. What's your conversion story? That was a happy day. That was a happy day for that eunuch. Lord have mercy. My goodness gracious. He was so excited. He says, I believe. See, look, notice this. Now, see, that's why in primarily most churches of Christ I know in this church of Christ, that's why we don't baptize little babies. Because, well, I better give it. It's a nice ceremony. Well, maybe it could be a ceremony. Well, let's just say it's going to be a ceremony. Let's say you're going to, it wouldn't anything to say we're going to pray for the baby. We're going to bless the baby, have a prayer service for the baby. I don't think there'd be anything wrong with that. But to baptize a baby, what you baptizing the baby for? And I'm not trying to, you know, slight anybody. What's the purpose? See, it's not for the baby, is it really? Who is it for? It's for mama and daddy and granddaddy. And, you know, we all just, we got to christen this baby. Well, just pray for the baby. Amen. I'm not, I mean, you know, that's why, why you say you don't baptize a baby? Can a baby believe? Can a baby hear the word of God? Yeah. Can a baby repent? Repent of what? Can a baby confess with his mouth? That's just, so we're just trying to stick with the scriptures on that one. Now but girl, you just mean, you just, y'all in that Church of Christ. No, that's not it. It's really not. If you say, well, Gary, can you come over to the house? Can I bring my baby so the elders, so the preachers, so you can pray and have a blessing for it? And that's one thing. I wouldn't be against that. But to call us and know, these are for members, and this is a teaching sermon also, because we know people come from the church, you come from your traditions, what they did. You know, we try to stick with this Bible. That's all it is. And so if you say, call Brother Gary, say, Brother Gary, I just want to know, would you christen my baby? No, we don't christen babies, but we'll pray for your baby. Matter of fact, we pray for everybody. Let me ask you this. If I pray for your baby, will you pray for me? Please pray for me every day. That's a whole nother sermon. Acts 9:5. That clock is not moving, so I need, is it moving? Okay, it is moving. Okay, all right. It won't be. Okay, Acts 9:5, and he said, "This is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. He was Saul at the time." Acts 9:5. I don't have time to read it all, but he said, "After Saul was knocked to his knees by God." That's why I say sometimes some folk don't want to hear the gospel and just keep living. Something might happen that you be sitting on the front row. And God got Saul's attention. And I just prayed that if you lost this morning, I hope God get your attention before it's too late. What need to happen? I don't know. I know what Paul, this was his response. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do." See, if you're going to be saved, there's something we got to do. Yeah, this is one, God not going to do everything for us to be saved. What you mean? He's already done it. And if you're going to be saved, you got to do something. But Gary, works don't save us, not works of merit, not any works of our own doing. But there is something, God, we must do in order to be saved. We just read it in Acts chapter 2. They asked the question, what must I do? Yeah. He go drop down to verse 17. So Ananias departed and entered the house. And Ananias had problems when God told him to go preach to Paul. He said, no, Lord. That's that man that's been killing folks. And God told Ananias, you go. Because I need you to tell Saul how much he's going to suffer for my cause. If I tell you to go, you go. Yeah, so we got to preach to everybody. Yeah. And Ananias departed and entered the house and laying his hands on him said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. Yeah, he got baptized. We sing a song, "Oh Happy Day, When Jesus Washed My Sins." A "Oh Happy Day." Y'all don't you start singing. I know we can sing that song. Oh, happy day. Yeah, I know. I want to sing it too, but not. I'm tired this morning. Yeah. When Jesus was. Now, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right. Y'all don't do it like that. But Paul got baptized. Yeah. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts 10:34. This is Cornelius. He was a Gentile. This was be the first instance. Although Samaritans were baptized, they are proselytes. This would be the instance where God is demonstrating to the world that salvation is truly for everybody. Not just the Jew, but to the Gentiles also. And through visions, messages were sent to Cornelius and to Peter, the preacher Peter. Then here Peter hears. Peter was resistant at first, didn't know, didn't understand what was going on. And then verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Everybody ought to be saying praise the Lord right now. Why? Because most people, even many of us, show partiality to people. Respect to persons. And sometimes we don't even like to admit it, but we have our eye leans toward folk who kind of like us, who kind of look like us, who kind of act like us, who kind of in our socioeconomic background, who have similarities to us. We like people that, she would be good in the church. He would make a good Christian. How do you know who will and who won't? What color do they need to be? Thank God we serve a God who shows no partiality. Everybody can be saved. There are good folk all over the world. Yeah, and he had to strike a vision to show Peter, look, Peter, you don't call nothing unclean that I call clean. Yeah, yeah. And so Peter said, I understand now, Lord. But in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. Excuse me. That's who's going to be saved. Yeah. Drop down to verse 47. And then after he preached to Cornelius and his household, Cornelius had everybody there too. He had his family, his friend, everybody. And I love that because we ought to want everybody in our family to be saved. Everybody. Well, yeah, I got some character. We all got them. That's what they need, salvation. Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we can, he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, common salvation. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's Cornelius and his household. Listen to Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Acts 16:14. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple. Notice this, a worshiper of God. Was listening. Hold up now. What do you mean worship? Why does she need to be saved? And she's already a worshiper of God. I'm glad you noticed that. That's a very important point, isn't it? It should be. Because what it tells us is that a person can be a worshiper of God and not be saved. See that? Did you hear that? No. A person can be, and you know, there's some people right now who probably pray more than we pray. But one thing we got to all understand is salvation does not come from ourself. See, you can't self-save yourself. And what do you mean, Brother Gary? Well, some people worship are worshipers of God, but sometimes it's lack of understanding. Sometimes they just want to kind of do it their way, but they still are call themselves worshiping God, but they have not obey God from the heart, that form of doctrine which is able to save our souls. Matthew 7 verse 21 says, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father, which is, we're talking about conversion. This is no more important question that you can answer in your life before you leave here. And this lady was worshiping God, but she wasn't closed ears now. And some folk just going to do it their way, don't want to hear nothing from nobody. This is the way I've been doing, and I'm going to keep doing. I don't care what that bald-head man said. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, notice this, she heard the same gospel. I don't know if she hadn't heard it before. I don't know if this is the first time. But this time when she heard it, she listened with ears to hear. And she responded from the heart that I've been worshiping God, but I haven't been baptized. I haven't done it God's way, and I need to submit my will to God's will. And she did it. See, pride gonna get a whole lot of folk. Well, I just don't feel like I got to do it that way. Don't let pride keep you out of heaven. Don't let pride keep you out of heaven. And she was so excited, she asked the apostles to stay with her. She prevailed. She prevailed on them. That, look, y'all need to come stay with me. Yeah, lit in the whole household. And so just because you are a worshiper of God, just because you praise, just because it, and you say, but okay, well, you know, I remember I was baptized when I was about 7, 8. You know, I just remember mama, they came to the church, and we went to church all the time. We went to, and I, you know I was supposed to get baptized, and I got baptized, and I just did it because everybody else was doing it. Really? That's why you got baptized? It wasn't because you were obeying the gospel from the heart. Let me read a couple more. Acts 16:30. This is the jailer. This is when Paul and Barnabas had been locked up in jail, and you know they sang a song. Elvis Presley used to sing a song, "Jailhouse Rock." God rocked the jail, shook the jail up, and freed them. And the jailer who was keeping them. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts 16, verse 30. And after he brought them out, he said, sirs, after what happened, he said, oh, my goodness, what is going on? He said, Paul, because the jailer was about to kill himself. He said, do yourself no harm. We're still here. He brought them out. He says, what must I do to be saved? Well, he recognized, well, God is on their side. And I'm lost as I can be. And I need to do something about my situation. They said, believe in the Lord Jesus. Notice the commonality. And you will be saved. You and your household. Well, Bergeri, it said nothing about baptism. It said nothing about it. Listen, there is not any one passage in the New Testament that includes all the will of God. That's why we read. That's why I'm reading all of these conversion stories just for you to find the commonality, because you'll find some are explicitly stated. Some of what we need to do is explicitly stated. Some of it is implied. It's not that they didn't do it. Listen to what else it says. Listen to this. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus. What does it mean when the Bible says believe in the Lord Jesus? It means you're going to obey the Lord. Listen to verse 32. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together. In other words, he believed. He said, look, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe. And then they taught him what he had to do. Together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was. Notice the Bible says, and immediately he was baptized. Well, why'd you stress that part immediately? Because if you want to be saved, salvation does not come before baptism. It comes after baptism. And depending on how fast you want to be saved, if you believe that baptism is necessary for your salvation, why would you wait till the fifth Sunday or to the to the end of the year or to next month when you want to be saved today. And notice this, and I'm not, you know, some who would teach it in a manner that there's not a sense of urgency once you express belief that you already said. That's the, listen, you want to know one of the primary differences between most churches of Christ and surely this church of Christ is what we teach a person, what they must do to be saved. And you will never, ever, never hear me say, you are saved when you believe. James chapter 2 verse 19 says the devils believe, question, are they saved? And they tremble at their belief. They do more than a whole lot of other folk do. But they're not saved. Yeah, yeah. And so this jailer said, look, baptize me. Yeah, and that's why we do. We baptize every day. Literally. We baptize, raise your hand if you baptize on a Monday. If you remember that. On a Monday, that's a strange day, Monday. Monday, anybody baptized on a Monday? Nobody, I got one hand that got baptized on a Monday. Anybody on a Tuesday, you baptized on a Tuesday? Tuesday baptism. Anybody on a Wednesday? Wednesday baptism. Anybody on a Thursday, you baptized on Thursday. Anybody on a Friday baptism? Friday baptism. Anybody on a Saturday? You got some Saturday baptism. Anybody on Sunday baptism? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, the scripture don't say, it doesn't say what day of the week this was. And it most likely was not a Sunday. Yeah. Jailer, he got baptized. He and all his household. Acts 17:32. When they heard, this would be the Athenians, the very smart, enlightened ones. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, because Paul was preaching, he was teaching. And see, now you can't teach the gospel without teaching the resurrection of the dead. Amen. The death, burial, and resurrection of the dead. Now, because some of them, the resurrection, they didn't believe in the resurrection. Sadducees, if you will. They began to sneer. It says some began to sneer. As I would think, I don't know if we have television or a live stream going on. Some people, this may be the first time they're hearing a message like this, and they're like, what is he talking about? He think he know. Oh, he know. That's why I don't like preachers right now. They think they know everything. He probably ain't no little youngster. He don't know more than I. That may be. That's why I'm reading all of these scriptures, because I don't know very much. But it's amazing what God can give us. They begin to sneer. Some people have different reactions. I'm saying, well, some people don't get baptized. Well, some people don't respond to the gospel. Because you know what? We worry about everybody else. Sometimes folk in our family sneer. You're not the first. You won't be the last. But others said, we shall hear you again concerning this. So Paul went out from their midst. But some men joined him. Notice. And believed. Then it names some of the disciples who, as Paul was an evangelist, he moved about, and some of them followed Paul because of the teaching. They knew, this is me, I think people know when they hear the truth. There is a difference when somebody is uplifting themselves, trying to gain followers, trying to impress folk, hooping and hollering, sweating, kicking up everything. People know when they hear the truth. And the scripture said that that's what God is looking for, true worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. Listen to Acts 18:8. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. Tell me politicians don't need the Lord. We need some Christian politicians. We have Christian politicians in here right now who have great influence. Ephesians. I need to close. Ephesians, Acts chapter 19, verse 2. And he said to them, notice this. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we've not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. This is Paul. These are some, he even calls them disciples. This is somebody who heard the gospel. They heard the message, but either they didn't hear it completely, or it was sort of kind of distorted, or something happened that they didn't really understand exactly what they were doing. And he said, verse 3, and he said unto, what then were you baptized? This is somebody who already had been baptized. As a lot of times people come to the Church of Christ, they come here and say, well, I've already been baptized. I don't need to get baptized again. Well, there's no such, see, you can't be baptized right and be taught in error. Because what you obeyed was something that was inefficient according to the scriptures. And here we have a clear example. And Paul asked him, he said, now you got baptized and you didn't have heard the Holy Spirit. He says, well, what were you baptized? What did they teach you? And he goes on, he says this. And when they said into John's baptism, and you know, John came preaching repentance when he was preaching, and that, but the message, but he said, listen, but it's not, it's Jesus you need to obey. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, in Jesus. Notice it, verse 5, praise the Lord. When they heard this, they were baptized. In the name of Jesus Christ. Well, can I ask that question, same question I asked earlier again? What's your conversion story? Whatever it is, compare it to what the scripture teaches. And then you can say without a doubt, if you've done it according to the scriptures, then you have the common salvation that all the saints in the Bible obeyed from the heart. Acts 2:47, and the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, if your conversion story is not common to the conversion stories we have in the Bible, then you have a choice. You can choose to stay where you are, or you can obey the true gospel and be added to the body of Christ as they were added in the Bible. And I hope and pray that all of our hearts would be tender when it comes to hearing and obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's still good news, isn't it, church? It's good news to hear that Jesus came, he lived, he died for all of our sins. I think, now, you know, next Sunday, this coming Sunday, the Lord says same, is the fifth Sunday. So we're having one combined worship service. Our sisters, I think, are going on a ladies' retreat this coming weekend. And we're having one combined. Remember that now, so tell your friend, don't come up here at 11 o'clock. One combined service next Sunday. And I think next Sunday I want to preach on, see, we're saved. I want to preach on the church, the kingdom of God, the church of Christ. What God adds us to. What God adds us to. But in order to be in the church of Christ, you got to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope that everyone in here, listen, you know, we do a lot of ministry, we do a lot of, you know, different works, but works by themselves will not save us. And none of our own merits will save us. What saves us is obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ and living faithfully to living faithfully before God until we die. Amen. I want to put a sense of urgency, especially on our young people, our young ones. You know, studies have shown that converts, even across the world, across the United States, if you don't convert a young person, if you don't convert a person before the age of 22 to 23, it becomes very, very difficult. I'm not saying a person won't obey the gospel after they're an adult, but many of our young individuals, they're exposed to so much, and there are now so many different teachings. They become disillusioned, they become confused, they become complacent, they become lethargic. They say, well, I don't have to have anything to do with God. And we want to put on your heart today, while you are young, to obey God and serve him till you die. Amen. And maybe there's somebody here that needs to be baptized, added to the body of Christ. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You've heard the word today. You come by repenting of all of your sins, as they did in the New Testament. And again, in all of those conversion stories, there's not one passage that has all of them explicit, but all of the conversion stories have belief and baptism, and one of them has confession, but then there are supporting passages that has confession and repentance and prayer, and so it's God's way. And we are to do it God's way, to hear God's word, to believe it with all of our heart, to repent of our sins, to confess Christ and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And if you're here today and you want to be baptized, won't you come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
Yield not to temptation,
for yielding is sin.
Each victory will help you. Some other to win.
Yes, and find
and fully are
word or passion subdue, and you just look
ever to Jesus,
and he
Jesus
will carry.
Oh, why don't you ask the Savior to